The fourth parak focuses on a famous halacha that if you have a fetus in an animal and the mother is shechted, that the fetus does not need shechita either. But we're going to talk about various ramifications of this halacha. For example, if limbs are sticking out of that fetus and if you have the amniotic sac that comes out. So we'll be talking all about various issues in this regard. Mishnah Aleph says as follows, Behema mekashe leled, if we have a mother that is having a difficult time in labor, and during that, vahotzi ha'ubar es yado vehechzira, and the fetus on the inside stuck its foreleg out, and then brought it back in, and after bringing it back in, the shechita happened then, so the full animal is on the inside at the time of the shechita, mutar ba'achila, the fetus is mutar ba'achila, in other words, it doesn't need its own shechita, because the mother's shechita is going to cover the fetus, however, the Mefarshim explain that the limb itself is not going to be covered. It falls into something that's in the Torah Shebaal Peh called a basar shiatza chutz mechitza, so it's meat that went out of its designated area, that it's considered a trefa. It's based on a drush and a pasuk, and accordingly the fetus is okay, it doesn't need a shechita, but that limb cannot be eaten. Hotzias rosho. Now this is more extreme. The entire head of the fetus came out, afa pi shechziro, even if he brought it back in before the shechita, and the shechita happened when the entire animal was inside, but because that head had gone out, hareze ki yalod, it's as if that fetus was born, which means if it is alive, it's going to require its own independent shechita. The shechita on the mother is not going to be effective for it, and if it has passed away, then it's going to have a din of a nevela, and it will cause there to transfer tumah. Continuing, chotech me'ubar shebeme'eha, if somebody comes and cuts off various limbs of, or one limb or more of that fetus while it is inside the mother, and leaves them there for the shechita, so everything is inside the mother at the time of the shechita, but not everything is intact. Mutar ba'achila, because everything is inside the mother and never came out, accordingly, that is all of it, even the cut-off limbs are going to be mutar, permitted to be eaten, based on the shechita of the mother. However, when talking about if somebody lifted in and cut off limbs of the mother, min ha'tchol u'min ha'klayos, cut off the spleen of the mother, or the kidneys of the mother, these are things that would not make the mother a trefa, but nonetheless, those limbs, when you do a shechita on the mother, asr b'achila, you cannot eat those limbs. And now the Mishnah explains what's the difference, that if you have cut off limbs from the fetus, but they're still always on the inside, that they are going to be permitted to be eaten, but rather if you have limbs that were cut off from the mother that stayed inside, you can't. Z'aklal, this is the rule. Davar shugufa, anything that is based on the, that is from the goof, from the body of the mother, is going to be usr uvesheino gufa. However, items that are not from the body of the mother, but rather they are limbs from the fetus that were detached, that is going to be mutter. Those limbs are going to be mutter b'achil. It's based on a drasha and a pasuk. Mishnah Beis hamevakeres hamekashelelit. Again, we have a mother animal that is having a difficult time in giving birth, but it is a mevakeres, which means that it is giving birth to a bechor. It's her firstborn, and if it's a male of certain types of animals, kosher animals, that is brought as a korban to the Beis Hamikdash. It's a bechor, and it's given to the kohanim to eat. So there's a halacha that a bechor is only considered holy once the majority of the animal, of the fetus, has come out, has been given birth to. However, piece by piece, if it comes out little by little, then that is not a dina bechor. So accordingly, if we have this woman who's having this woman, we have this animal, female animal, is having a difficult time giving birth, mechatech ever, and on the way out, a limb comes out, and somebody on the outside cuts off a limb, and then another limb, and another limb, mashlich leklavim, it would be permitted to feed those limbs to a kelev, to a dog. It does not have a din of a bechor. It doesn't have kedusha because the majority never came out and they were cutting. They were cutting piece by piece. So you never aggregate to a majority of the animal. Yatsa ruba, however, if the majority of the animal comes out together and then they cut off some hareza yikaver, you have to bury it. You cannot be feeding it to dogs because once a majority comes out, it has a din of a bechor. But either way, whether you're cutting piece by piece or you cut off or the majority came out as a whole, this is considered the firstborn of that mother, such that v'niftara min habechora, if she has and when she has another baby and it would be a baby boy, you don't have to give that as a bechor because she already effectively gave birth. She already had her bechor before, even if it wasn't treated like a bechor. Mishnah Gimel behema shemes ubara besoch me'eha. What happens if you have an animal and the fetus died while it was on the inside, and now v'hoshit haroes yado v'nagabo, and you have a shepherd or anyone lifts in the hand and touches it. So this is the question. Is it going to be transferring tuma to that person or not? Bein behema tameya, whether it's a non-kosher animal like a horse, bein behema torah, or whether it's a kosher animal like a cow, tahor, it is going to be tahor. The fetus is considered part of the mother, so even if the fetus is dead, it doesn't matter. It's still considered part of the mother. The mother is alive. A live animal does not transfer tuma. Accordingly, the fetus that is dead, as it's still part of the mother, it will not cause there to the conveyance of tuma to the person who reached in and touched it. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, I agree in part and disagree in part. Pitmeya Tameya. Tame, if it is a non-kosher animal and somebody touches that fetus on the inside, it will transfer tuma because you don't have this concept of being part of the mother when it's talking about a non-kosher animal. However, where I do agree with Torah, if it's talking about a kosher animal and somebody touched that dead fetus on the inside, in that situation, I agree, it will not transfer tuma. Now we're going to talk about a woman, Haisha Shemes Vlada Besoch Me'eha. If a woman, she has her fetus, the fetus died when inside of her, and again, we would say that that fetus is part of the mother, and accordingly, it should not cause there to be a transfer of tuma, but that is on a d'oraisa level. We're going to see a little bit of a change here when it comes to a mother. And we have the doula, the person who is helping her give birth, reached in her hand and touched that fetus. So in this situation, hachaya tameya tuma shiva. We have a special deen here on a rabbinic level that chaya, the woman who reached in her hand and touched that fetus, is going to be tame as if she touched a dead body. So she's going to be tame 7 days. At the time we had the Beis Hamikdash, she'd have to go through the para aduma purification process. And this is because we have a concern that maybe the baby's head came out and the doula did not see that. And accordingly, if the head did come out, indeed, it would be considered separate from the mother and would be matame. So accordingly, we're of that concern that the head came out, derabanan, she is going to be tameya. However, vaisha taora shadiyetze avlada, however, the mother itself, she would be aware whether the head came out or not. So she has a dina being tahora until the fetus is actually given birth to. So Chazal did not institute this tuma when it came to the mother because she would know that the head came out. Mishnah Dalet Behema Hamekasha Leilet. We're back to the concept of an animal having a difficult time giving birth. And we're going to see two scenarios. This is going to be fairly complicated. Scenario number one is going to be less complicated, and it's as follows. This animal is having a tough time giving birth, and meanwhile, the fetus on the inside stuck its foreleg out. So the leg is on the outside, and somebody came, step number two, and cut it. And only thereafter, step number three, the shechita was done to the mother. So that's the order. Foreleg came out, somebody cut it, and the shechita was done on the mother. So this is the reisha. Behemesh hamakasha leilet v'hotzi uber es yado. Then the uber stuck his leg out. That's phase number one. V'chatacha. And phase number two, somebody cut it. V'acharkach shachat etayima. And thereafter, with the shechita was done on the mother, habasar tahor. The basar is referring to the fetus itself. The fetus is kosher because the fetus was still on the inside when the shechita was done on the mother. And accordingly, you do not need to do a shechita on that fetus because the shechita on the mother covers that fetus. However, the limb itself that was cut off before the shechita of the mother, this limb that was on the outside that was cut off, that has a din of aver min achai. It was an aver, a limb that was cut off from a live animal because it was on the outside. And accordingly, has a din of a nevela. It will cause there to be tuma, transfers of tuma, as if it's a nevela. But now we're going to switch the second part, the second scenario. We're going to switch the order, steps number two and number three. We're going to start out the same way that step number one, that we have an animal that's having a difficult time giving birth, and the fetus inside sticks out its leg. But what happens is now the shechita happens before the limb is cut off. So step number two is the shechita of the mother, and thereafterward somebody cuts off that protruding limb. So here we go in the Mishnah. Shachat et imo, the shechita was stage number two was done. V'acharka chatacha, Then afterward, the limb was cut off. Habasar, this is referring to the fetus itself. This is a discussion of the fetus itself. Does it become tame or not? Why would we say it becomes tame? It was on the inside, so why should it have any impact on it? So the Mishnah says this is a machlokas. Habasar maga nevela. Because it was, the limb was on the outside. And that limb, while it was on the outside, it's considered detached because it's considered separate from the fetus on the inside. So even though it was cut off afterward, it still has a din of aver min hachai, because as we know, the shechita is not going to be effective for that limb on the outside. If the shechita is not going to be effective for it, it's considered a separate limb. It's considered aver min hachai, and accordingly, when we did the shechita on the mother, we have the fetus on the inside. All is good, but when you cut off that limb on the outside, we view it as that limb that has a din of an avela, because it's Evra Minachai, touched the fetus on the inside, and accordingly the fetus on the inside can become tight. It was touching an avela, and it becomes tame as well. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's the view of Rabbi Meir. V'chachamim Omrim, they disagree. That limb on the outside, it is maga trefa shchuta. It is considered not a din of nevela, but it's considered a trefa. And there's a halacha that a trefa, that when you shechtas trefa, it is does not have a din of nevela, and it doesn't cause there to be tuma. So accordingly, the view of Chachamim is that the fetus on the inside, it was simply touching a treif on the outside when you cut off that limb, and accordingly, it doesn't have a tuma of nevela for the fetus. And now Chachamim is going to explain their view, why they say maga treifa shchuta, that it's touching a treif on the outside. So they say as follows, mamatzina betreifa sheshchita tamitarta. There's a special din. When we have an animal that's a treifa, what's a treifa? It's an animal that has a fatal injury inside of it, but if it has a kosher shchita on it, and thereafter you see that it has a fatal injury on the inside of it, it is not going to be considered an avela, such that it will not cause or convey tuma. If it's a trefa, it does not convey tuma. If it's an avela, it does convey tuma. And accordingly, when we do a proper shechita on an animal that is a trefa, it is not an avela. We are metaheret with that shechita. Ashechitas behema titaheret haever. The same thing applies when we do a shechita on the mother here. Even though that limb is protruding, it's still attached, it is going to be effective. Just like a shechita on a trefa is metaheret from being an avela, so too the shechita on the mother is going to be metaher that fetus and the limb touching it from being an avela. And accordingly, when that limb is cut off, it has a din of trefa, not an avela, and it does not metame the fetus on the inside. So that is the view of Chachamim. Amar lem Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, I disagree. You cannot learn from the fact that when you do a shechita on a trefa, that it's not considered an avela, because that is the animal itself you're doing the shechita on. But here in this situation that you have the limb protruding outside, you're doing the shechita on the mother, that is not going to be metaher the arm of the fetus that is protruding. So that's what Rabbi Meir says. Amar lem Rabbi Meir, lo, I disagree with your analogy. Im tihara shechita shreifa osa davar shebegufa. I understand that when you do a shechita on a treifa, that is going to take it out of being an avela because you're shechting the animal itself. You want to say that it's going to be matar, that it's going to take the protruding limb of the fetus also from being an avela and put it into the tray? For that, I disagree with. Now we are going to discuss something a little complicated that both Chachamim and Rebbe Meir will agree to. They say as follows, Minayin the treifa sheshchita tamitarta. Where do we know? We've been talking about this treifa, that when you do a shechita on a treifa, the shechita is metarhet, such that it does not have a din and a vela, it will not convey tuma. Where do we know that from? So we're going to have an attempted limud. It's a little bit long. Behema temeya asura b'achila. Be'at Tmeya is a non-kosher animal. A non-kosher animal, you're not allowed to eat. Af trefa asura b'achila. Same thing applies even when it's a kosher animal, but it's a trefa. You did the shechita and you found out that it had a fatal flaw inside of it. You're not allowed to eat the meat of a trefa. So now we're establishing that there's a parallel between a non-kosher animal, you can't eat the meat, and a trefa, you can't eat the meat. Ma be'ema tmeya ein shechitata mitarata. Just when it comes to a non-kosher animal, during the shechita on a non-kosher animal does not make that meat kosher. It doesn't take it away from being an avela. It's still matami like an avela. So the same thing would apply for a trefa. Af trefa lo titar en shechita asa. Same thing would apply with a trefa, that if you do a shechita on it, it doesn't make the meat that you can eat it. It also isn't mitaher the meat. In other words, it still has a din of an avela. So that's our parallel, that we learn a trefa from a tamea, but now we're going to disagree with that. And now we're going to say, law, there is a fundamental distinction between a behema that's a tamea, non-kosher animal, and a behema that is a trefa, and we cannot learn one from the other. As follows, im amarta bebehema tamea shelo haisalashas kosher. I agree that the shechita is not going to be mitaher a non kosher animal. A non-kosher animal was born non-kosher. So of course a shechita is never going to be metaharet. A shechita is never going to make you able to eat the meat of a treif animal. It's also not going to take it out of from being an avela. But that's very different from a kosher animal that is a treifa, that originally that animal, when it was born, it was a kosher animal, it wasn't a treifa. And only later that mum happened, that blemish happened later on. Tomer, betrefa, you want to say the same thing when it comes to a kosher animal that's a trefa, shaisa lashas kosher, that indeed it was kosher originally. In other words, what we are now proving is that the shechita should remove a trefa, not in behema tmea, not a non-kosher animal, but a trefa, it should remove it from tumas nevela. So that is where we stand right now, but now we are actually going to refute that, because it's the Mishnah continues, Tola Chamash Evesa, you want to bring a proof, and you want to distinguish between a non-kosher animal and an animal that is trefa, and you want to say that distinction is because a non-kosher animal never had a time that it was kosher, the shechita is not going to be effective on it, you can't prove that to a behema that is a trefa that was kosher originally, the trefa happened later on, so there the shechita can help it, but how about when we have a kosher animal that was a trefa all the way from birth. If it was a trefa from all the way from birth, it should be the same as a non-kosher animal, that the shechita is not going to be effective for it. It won't take it out of being an avela. So tola chamash avesa, let's bring it from your own proof. You wanted to bring this distinction? That doesn't work for you. Haresha nolda trefa mina beta minayin. So where are you going to prove that if you had a trefa from birth, that the shechita is going to be effective? It's not going to be effective because it's going to be just like a non-kosher animal. So the Mishnah acknowledges that in law. It says, truth be told, we're going to bring another proof to answer our original question. Where do we know that if we have a kosher animal that's a trefa, that the shechita will be mitaharet, the shechita will remove it from the status of an avela and put it into the status of a trefa, so it's not going to be a mitame. So where are we going to know that? And that this distinction is going to apply even to a trefa that was born with its mum, that was born with its defect, it's also going to apply to that, that the shechita will be affected to be mitaharet. So it goes as follows, ima marta bebehema tmea. If you want to say when it comes to a non-kosher animal that the shechita is not effective for it, shechain ein b'mina shechita, because there is no non-kosher animal that can have a shechita on it. Shechita does not work for non-kosher animals, period, ever. So obviously the shechita is not going to take it out of being a treif animal. It's not going to take it from being an avela. However, tomar b'treifa, you want to prove from a non-kosher animal to a treifa, sheyesh b'mina shechita, then indeed, even though it's a treifa, but shechita works for animals that are kosher, and a treifa is a kosher animal. So a treifa is in the parsha of having a shechita. So accordingly, we prove from there that when you do a shechita on a trefa, even if it was born a trefa, it doesn't matter. The shechita is going to take it out from being an avela, and it's going to be a trefa. It will not be metame. But now, despite that, we're just going to add on a detail here that if you have an animal that even if it's kosher, but it's considered dead from the beginning, even though it's alive, but it's considered dead halachically, then the shechita will not be affected to remove it from being an avela. What does that mean? So we're going to talk about ben shmona chai. We're talking about a calf. A calf full term is 9 months, not 8 months. Chazal view it that if it's nine, if it's born at 8 months, it's a preemie. It's premature. It's considered dead. So because of that, it's not considered alive. It's considered dead. But shmona chai, ein shechitato metarato, the shechita will be not be metarit. So it was born that 8 monther, shechita will not be metarit. Why? Because when it comes to an 8 month, or because it's not considered a ben kayam, it's considered dead, that is something that is not relevant to have a shechita on. It's considered like a non-kosher animal that the shechita is not going to be metaharet. Mishnah hei, ha-shochet et ha-behema, umatza ba ben shmona chai omeis. If you, now we're getting back to our original concept, the main theme of the parak here, that when you do a shechita on an animal, the mother, and you find in it a fetus. So now the Mishnah says that as follows, that you find in it a fetus, and that fetus is 8 months old, and its full term is 9 months, so it's ben shmona chai omeis, and whether it's dead or alive, or ben tisha meis, or if it's nine, it's full term, 9 months, and it is dead, no matter what, because that is a fetus that is inside the mother. Even if it was the 8-monther, it was considered dead. If it was a nine-month full term, but it's dead, it's considered part of the mother. We did a shechita on the mother. No shechita on that fetus is required, and you would be permitted to eat it. However, just as a side point here, despite the fact that you don't need a shechita on that fetus, you do have a problem of eating the blood. There's an isra lav in the Torah of eating blood, so you don't need to do a shechita in order to open up the fetus and get rid of the blood, but kora umotzi estama, you would have to tear it open and make sure to take out the blood and not eat the blood. But what we're saying here is in these scenarios, in the reisha, you would not need a shechita on the fetus on the inside. But the one thing that we left out here is, how about a 9-month full term and it's alive? So we're going to see a three-way machlokas on this. Does it require a shechita or not? Matzah ben tisha chai. We found when we did shechita on the mother inside is a full term baby calf there and it's alive. So does it need shechita or not? Three opinions on this. Opinion number one, ta'un shechita. It requires shechita. Why? Because it's a viable calf, it can live on its own, it got to full term, and accordingly, because it can be looked at as independent, it's not looked at as part of the mother, you need a shechita on that calf as well, even though it was inside the mother when the mother shechita was done. And in addition, as a corollary to that, v'chaya ba'oso v'esbeno, divrei Rabbi Meir, you also have a different halacha that you can't shech the mother and the child, its offspring, in the same day. You already did the shechita on the mother, you can't do the shechita on the offspring today, you would have to wait until the next day at a minimum. That is opinion number one, the opinion of Rabbi Meir, that because it's a full-term live calf, you require a shechita on it, despite the fact that shechita was done on the mother. Opinion number two, v'chachamim omim shechitas imo mitarato. The shechita on the mother takes care of the shechita of the fetus on a deoraisa level. However, derabanan, according to chachamim, we still require shechita on that calf once it walks. If it walks, if you want to shechita it immediately before it walks, you don't need to shechita. If you want to eat it immediately, you can eat it immediately. But once it walks, there is a shechita derabanan required, so people don't come to think that you don't need a shechita on an animal. So shechita is required on a rabbinic level. If it's a 9-monther, that is a viable animal, and it walked, chachamim on a rabbinic level requires shechita. Opinion number two, Rabbi Shimon Shazuri Amar, I don't care if that animal, afilu ben shmona shanim, even if it's 8 years old, v'choresh besad, and even if it's plowing in the field, shechita sima metaratu, the shechita of the mother is effective even on a rabbinic level, certainly on a deraisa level, but even on a rabbinic level, if that animal was in the mother, if the fetus was in the mother, when the shechita was done on the mother, that takes care of its shechita no matter what. Now, everyone would agree with the next point, kira'a, umatzaba ben tisha chai. If you didn't do a shechita on the mother, you ripped open the mother, and then you found in it that 9-month-old, full-term, live calf. In that situation, ta'un shechita, the fetus is going to require shechita, the fish lo nishchata imo, because there's no shechita on the mother. Now, obviously, you need shechita on the fetus. Mishnah Vav. Behema shenechtechu raglecha min arkuva lamata. Just a little bit about the anatomy of the leg. We're talking about the back leg, the hind leg of a cow. So unlike our legs that we have two areas, we have like the bottom of the leg and then we have the knee and the top of the leg, they have three areas. So they have the bottom and then they have like a fold in it, like a quasi-knee. That's what's called the lower joint. And then they have the middle part of the leg that also has three major sinews that it runs on the outside of the bone. And then they have like a second joint, the upper joint, and then they have the top part of the leg. So we're now going to talk about what happens if what makes a calf a trepha. If something happens to the bottom part of that leg, when does it become trefa? If it's a trefa, even if you have a kosher shechita, you can't eat it. So when is it a trefa? When is it not a trefa? And then we're going to go to the second part of the Mishnah that we're going to discuss. Even if it's not a trefa, even though there's some damage on the leg, but it's not going to be considered a trefa, if you have a dangling limb and you do a shechita on the mother, will the shechita permit the eating of that dangling limb? Mishnah Vav says as follows, Behema shenechtecha raglecha min arkuva lamata. If you have an animal, you have this cow, and its leg, it's was severed on the back, the hind leg was severed from the lower joint and below, kshera. It is going to be kosher. In other words, it's not going to be considered that that animal is a trefa. And when you have a shechita done, you are permitted to eat the cow. You're not allowed to eat the severed limb if it was that low, below the lower joint, but it's not going to make a trefa. You can't eat that. But the whole animal, it can be eaten. Min arkuva lamala. However, if the sever of that limb, of the hind leg, is above that lower joint, that makes the animal a trefa, and even with the kosher shechita psula, it is going to be pasul, it is going to be, the whole thing is going to be a trefa, you can't eat of the meat. V'chein shenital tzomes akidin, and not only if the limb was severed above that lower joint, but even if that middle part of the leg, you are missing those three, if you're missing the sinews there, that would also make the animal a trefa and it cannot be eaten. Now we're going to get to the second part. Now let's assume that we're in that bottom part of the leg, the lower joint. We said that the lower joint, even if it's severed, it doesn't make it a trefa. So how about if it's only partially severed? It's somewhat attached still and you do a shechita on the animal. Can you eat that severed limb or only the animal itself? So nishbar ha'etzem, if we have the below that lower joint, the bone is broken, however it's still attached. How is it still attached? Because it's being held on by the skin and by the meat. Imrov habasar kaim, if the majority of the skin and the meat are still attached, going around it, shechita somitarto, that will, the shechita will be effective. In other words, it's still considered part of the animal for purposes of shechita, and it can be eaten. Vinlav, however, even though the bone is broken, but here we don't have the majority of the meat and the skin intact, it's less than the majority, accordingly, ein shechita somitarto, the shechita will not be effective. The animal can be eaten because, as we said, it's not a trefa because it's in the lower part, it's below that lower joint. However, because too much of that limb is severed off, you're not allowed to eat that joint. You're not allowed to eat that piece that is partially severed. Mishnah Zayin Hashochet et Behema Umatza Bashilya. Now we did shechit on the animal and we find the amniotic sac that is the place that the fetus grows inside of. So we find that the amniotic sac, at this point, it is permitted to be eaten because it was in the mother. Nefesh hayafa tochlena. It means that if somebody is not finicky, they are permitted to eat it because shechita is not necessary for that amniotic sac. However, ve'enu metame lu mutumas ochlim v'tumas nevelim. In addition, it does not be metame tumas ochlim, which means it's not considered food. So you can transfer tuma to a person, you can transfer tuma to a kli, you can transfer tuma to a food, but this shilia, because the majority of people would not eat an amniotic sac, it doesn't have a status of a food, and it's not going to become tame. And in addition, it doesn't have a status of a nevela. So that's talking about even if the mother died without a shechita, this amniotic sac would not be considered a nevela that would cause tuma. On the other hand, despite the fact that the majority of people wouldn't eat this amniotic sac, if somebody decides he's going to eat it, chishav alav, I'm going to eat the sac, because now he's decided he's going to eat it, it reverts to being a food, mitame tumas ochlim, it would become mitame tumas ochlim. However, the fact that he decided to eat it is not going to convert it into being meat. It's halachically not meat, avolot tumas nevelas, so it wouldn't be mitame tumas nevelas. Continuing, shilia shiasta miksasa. If we had part of the shilia, part of the sac, amniotic sac, came out of the woman, came out of the animal, Asura b'achila, it is not permitted to eat it anymore. If it was outside at the time of the shechita, why not? Now we have a concern as follows, and we'll explain it shortly. Siman vlad b'isha, when we have a sack, we have an amniotic sack, it is a sign that the woman was pregnant, that there was a fetus, and accordingly, even though we didn't know she was pregnant, we see the sack that came out, we have to assume that she was pregnant. Accordingly, she's going to have the tuma of a yoledis, of somebody who gave birth. And the same thing is going to be v'siman vlad b'beima, the same thing is going to apply that this to this animal. Now that we see that there's an amniotic sac, we have to assume that there was a vlad in it, that there was a fetus in it, and accordingly, when the shilia, just to go back the line, shilia shiasamiksa, when part of it came out, we're saying it's usher to eat it, we have to assume now that part of it came out that it could have included the head of the dissolved animal. And accordingly, because the head would of the dissolved animal came out, even the shechita on the mother will not be effective to permit eating of that amniotic sac. So now that we see that it's an amniotic sac, it came out before shechita, we have to assume that the main part of the animal was in it, the head, then accordingly the shechita, the mother, is not going to be effective to permit eating of it. Hamivakeres, sheep, hilashilia, we're going back to the mivakeres, which is the animal that is giving birth, and is giving birth to a bechor, its firstborn, but we don't know if it's a boy or a girl. The concept of mitzvah bechor only applies to male animals, kosher animals, not females. So we don't know, we're not able to verify the gender, and amivakeres, sheep, hilashilia, and all that we see come out is that amniotic sac. So do we have to assume that it was a boy and that it has the kedusha? The Mishnah says no. Yashlichenu leklavim, you're permitted to throw it to the dogs. Why is that? Because, as we said, the concept of a bechor only applies to male, not female animals. And in addition, even if it were a male animal, if it had some fundamental mum, if it was deformed, so that too would not be considered a bechor. And accordingly, when it comes to looking at the numbers, the majority of shilias, the majority of amniotic sacs that come out, would not have the status of a bechor, because female, male, 50-50 approximately. And accordingly, if we're going to lower the 50% of the boys lower down, because some would be deformed, the majority of the shilias of the amniotic sacs come out would not have the status of a bechor. And accordingly, we can assume it wasn't a bechor, and we can throw it off, we can even feed it to the dogs. However, of a muktashim, if we have an animal that is alive, but it's hektish, it's owned by the Beis HaMikdash. For example, it was donated, it's supposed to be brought as a korban shlamim, and it gave birth to a bechor. In that situation, because a shlamim can be either a female or male animal, so the majority of shilias that come out are going to be kadosh, they're going to be viable and owned by the Beis HaMikdash and able to be brought, effectively, it would be holy. Tikaver, that we have to bury it because it's going to be prohibited to have hanav from it because it has the status of hektesh. The ein kovin, when we're going to bury it, ein kovin osa b'parshas drachim, you're not allowed to bury it on the crossroads. We'll explain shortly why. Vein tolin osa b'ilan, also you can't hang it on a tree. Why? Mipnei darkei ha'emori, because this was a pagan practice. It was chukas agoyim. They believed that if your animal had a miscarriage, in order to avoid a future miscarriage, all you had to do was to bury the shilia, the sack, at a crossroads or hang it on a tree. And accordingly, because that's an idolatrous practice, we have to make sure that we don't bury it either at the crossroads or to hang that shilia on a tree.